Good morning, everyone. Good morning, folks online. Yeah, happy seeing you all. It's a blessing to always stand here and deliver God's word. It's a blessing, it's a privilege, and I don't take it for granted at all. So thank you so much, Pastor Berry, Church Board, congregation, for always having me here to preach. I give praise to God for that. Today is a special day. When I was coming, I remembered about 11 years ago, that was the first time I visited Europe, and that was the first time I saw snow. So it was snowing, and I was like, oh, it reminds me of Europe. And amazingly, it also marked like 3 years, exactly 3 years, 4 months that I have been in Canada. So God has been good. God has been, faithful in every way. So I give him all the praise. We are still in our message of get ready. Last week, we did a short statistics in the room, like a roll call. How many of you are ready? Pastor Berry asked how many of us are really ready for Christmas. And it looked like half of us, and half of us were not. Yeah, and I believe that we will have quite a number of people if we are asked to ask the same question again, or I don't know where we will stand, but we are still in the message of we getting ready for this time. And some of the things that we gathered from last week's message, yeah, was that this season is the season where the church worship as we prepare for the coming of our Lord. And three things were very significant, like looking back, looking forward, and then looking at the present. Looking back to the time when our God came to be like one of us, to be infant, to be born by the Virgin Mary. Looking forward to when Jesus will come again as King and as Judge, to judge sin, death, evil, and to make all things known. Looking at the present, looking at the brokenness of our world. Yeah, so that helped us to get in touch with the deep longing for wholeness, for which we were made for. So that position helped us to tend to things as we lament, the things that have occupied our attention, what we can lay down, the adjustment we can make so that we can stay focused on our King. It is, in essence, a reminder of the hope that Jesus brings to the world. This morning, we are still in that same series as we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. It's a beautiful scripture. Cheryl introduced it briefly, talking about Joseph, who was called upon suddenly to father this baby that he knew nothing about. So we are going to talk about that story, and I trust that God will help us learn so much from his life. Amen. I read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. Amen. Head of thy church, triumphant, we joyfully adore thee, till thou appearest, thy members here shall sing like those in glory. We lift our hearts and voices with blessed anticipation, and cry aloud and give to God the praise of our salvation, and cry aloud and give to God the praise of our salvation. Reading this scripture, we cannot help but to give praise to God. Hallelujah. Who is the praise of our salvation? This story is the dawn of salvation, is the dawn of redemption. In the Jewish culture, marriage custom involves the pledge stage and the wedding stage. So usually the wedding was the final stage that was considered the proper marriage, but also the pledge stage was virtually binding as the marriage itself. So it was the season where the man and the woman formalized their relationship before witnesses, and they enter into legal agreement, yeah, which gave the man legal rights over the woman. And at this point, both partners were considered husband and wife. The death of one could render the other being a widow or a widower. The partners usually, that's the husband and wife, will not have any intimate relationship. Any act of such nature was considered adultery and was punishable. Yeah, so this was the time in Mary and Joseph's lives. They were waiting for their marriage, and Mary was found with a child. That was so surprising. Without knowing the supernatural origin of this pregnancy, of this conception, Joseph naturally, thought that Mary had committed adultery. And so he was thinking, being a just man, being a righteous man, like according to the standard of the law, he decided to do something about it. He was faced with a huge dilemma, a huge one, a very huge one. His faithfulness to the law, which will not make him condone, you know, to put up with an unfaithful woman, as it were. And also his concern for Mary, that I don't want Mary to face public disgrace, anything that would tarnish her image. So he was very mindful of what to do. That could, in a way also, according to the law, Mary could have suffered punishment. He could have been stoned. So he was just thinking through all that. So Joseph came to this point in his life that he did something so beautiful. He balanced his faithfulness and also compassion. He had compassion on Mary. I don't want to expose Mary. I don't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. And he loved the Lord. And he wanted to be faithful to please God. And he was faced with this thing. And he just decided to divorce Mary quietly. And in the Gospel of John chapter 8, we read, this woman was found, the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus, who was found. They told Jesus he was caught right in the act, and they wanted to stone her. So that was what, at the time, that could have happened to Mary. So an example of a godly man, Joseph portrays for us. He establishes values, the values of God for his life. And he was mindful of the things that he did. Yeah, so Joseph's dilemma was intervened in a way. God gave a revelation that remedied the situation. Had it not been this revelation, Joseph would have not come to this point in his life. What was this revelation that God gave him? As we read from scripture, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. In verses 20 to 23, we read, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take home Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus, for he shall save many from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In this announcement, the angel of the Lord reveals the very identity of this child. And this child, his name meant what he was going to do. So his role, who he was embodied in the name that was given to him. And the name that was given to Jesus identifies him as one who brings Yahweh's promised salvation. The name Jesus, Yahweh saves. And God gave this promise to the children of Israel in time that this Messiah will come, who will deliver them from all their struggles, from their sins. He will redeem Israel from their sin. From the account of the angel, two things come to us. This child has both divine and human origin. And this is simply a wonder. This is simply so profound for our understanding to grasp. His conception was by the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. And it took place in a human body. It took place in Mary's body, making this child both God and man. Son of God, son of man, he was called. What a mystery. What a blessing for us to have God to dwell with us. for God to step into our history, to be like one of us, and to redeem us, to deliver us from our struggles. And this had been God's ultimate plan from the beginning of time. After the fall, God sought to redeem all things to himself. God's redemptive plan, which is set forth in motion through Abraham, at this point we are seeing that has reached its climax in Jesus. So God chose Abraham and subsequently his descendant to start this whole plan with. That's Abraham, and through Abraham's seeds, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Israel was called into a covenant relationship with God. And one of the greatest things that characterized this covenant relationship was the very presence of God with them. And so we read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 15, we see Moses. Moses asked the Lord, "You have called me to lead this people, and you have not shown me who you have called to help me." And God told Moses that my presence will go before you. So Moses said that, "Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, then we are not moving." So the presence of God was the greatest characteristic among the children of Israel with them. In the covenant relationship, the Lord was with them. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 27, we read that God told them, "I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people." God himself was their king. He was their sovereign Lord. And when in the course of time they rebelled, Israel rebelled and went to exile and all, God was still speaking mercy. He was still speaking grace, and he promised to give them the Messiah. The promise of the Messiah who will save them and redeem them from their sin, according to Ezekiel 37, was intertwined, was connected to the promise that God himself will be with his people. And it reads, "I will be an everlasting covenant with my people. I will make an everlasting covenant with my people. I will establish them. I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And Matthew said that all these things happened to fulfill that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read that this is the sign: a virgin shall conceive, he will give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Not the political Messiah as Israel had hoped and was expecting, but the very true hope, the very true consolation of Israel. And also, according to that same prophecy, if you read somewhere Isaiah 9:6, it was said of this child that he will appear in Galilee of the Gentiles as a great light to those in the land of the death. And his name is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is Emmanuel, our God with us. Emmanuel declares the presence of God altogether new. That God Himself will come and be with us. In the beginning was the Word was with God. We know from Scripture, the Word was God. Everything was made by this Word. And again, Scripture tells us that the word of God became flesh. This Word of God that was in the beginning with God became flesh and dwelt among us. God took on human name. Jesus was a common name at that time, like Daniel, like Maureen, like Joseph, like all the names we have today, the Jadens, the Calebs, and all. So it was a common name. So that was one of the names that he identifies with us. He took on human name. His birth was by a virgin, but it was a natural birth. And Jesus had a human lineage. Matthew opens his gospel by introducing Jesus as the son of David, the son of Abraham, connecting him to the patriarch Abraham and to the king David. That's the Lord in the Old Testament gave this prophecy that Jesus will come through this lineage. So he had a human lineage. He came to be like one of us, to know us in all our elements. In all our weakness, in all our pain, in all our struggles, in our hurts, our disappointments, our joys, our sorrows, all that we do feel, he came to experience all that. He is our Savior, and our Savior, as our Savior, he did not just come and deliver us. But also he delivered us and he is with us to help us on this journey to become like him. So Bible says that we don't have a high priest who is unable. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But the high priest that we have, he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And he, Jesus, our high priest, is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him, because he always makes intercession for them. Jesus knows us. I don't know what point in life that you are in. I don't know your story. I don't know the issues that have faced your life. Maybe you are like me right now. Life might be going so bad right now, and it may seem like all hope is lost, and you simply cannot figure out what the next steps might be or look like for you. Does it feel for you that joy, hope have departed from you? And you don't know what to do, you don't feel joy, you don't feel happiness, and there is a void in your life? What are you experiencing right now? Is it hunger? Is it pain? Is it the death of a dear person? Jesus, our God with us, Emmanuel, has been at this place before. He was once human. Whatever you are feeling, he has felt it before. The place that you are right now, he has been there before. The language that you are speaking now, he understands. He was once in your place. He was once in your position. So even though we go through a lot of things in life, church, I want you to know this, that Emmanuel is mightier than all that you are going through. Emmanuel is sovereign. Emmanuel is Lord. Emmanuel is present in that situation. So we can lift up our heads high and we can give thanks regardless, because our God is present in all our situations. So the difficult things that we are going through, I want to assure you that you will overcome. Because scripture says in Isaiah 43 verse 2 that when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not be drowned. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Further on, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." God is with you. God is for you. And God is your portion in this land of the living. So Paul said that if God be for us, then who can be against us? If God came in the flesh, God did not spare his son and gave him to us, came in the flesh to be like us, how will God also not deliver you from all that you are going through? So we can shout for joy even though we pass through tribulation, even though we go through struggles, even though we go through difficult times. We can say with Paul that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So neither death nor our pain, neither our sorrows, neither our struggles, neither our hunger, nothing will be able to separate us from this love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Emmanuel is with us. Emmanuel is for us. Again and again and again and again, he is for us. One of the things that I have faced within these three years, 4 months that I have been in Canada, 5 of my relatives, 2 aunties, 2 uncles have died. And I was brought up in the extended family system, so they were very close to me. And I grew up with 3 of them. In as much as those things have been so painful, and whenever I consider like going back home, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to meet this person. I'm not going to meet that person. But one of the things that always makes my heart ache is my home in Ghana, that if I return right now, I will not go back home. The home that I left, I will not go back to that same home. That is my matrimonial home, where Benedict and I started our lives. So we started our lives in a very cool apartment. And as Christians, loving Jesus, we wanted to have God like presence in our environment and everything around us depicting our faith. So we had this inspiration and we named all the doors. Amazingly, they were 9. So we named the doors of the fruit of the Spirit. And each door had a scripture. So we go through each door. We are going through love. We are going through peace. We are going through self-control. We are going. So they have scriptures like that. We loved our homes so much, and people loved our homes too. We gave the place up for people to retreat and to do prayers and all that. But in the course of time, we had to just leave the place. Benedict had to be in Accra. I am in Canada. We don't know when we're going back. So it was just difficult. But anytime I remember how we started and how God has been present with us in that place, I'm like, are we going back to a place where God is not? Inasmuch as the place means so much, God reminded me, and my heart was at peace, that inasmuch the place is so much important, the people is so much important. It's the people that make the place, not the place, the people. And more importantly, I am the one who made that difference in the home. And I am the one with you. And I am able to make a new home for you. He reminded me of his very presence, that it is his presence with us that makes the difference in every situation. I just want to encourage your heart, church, that do not fear, for God is with you. God is on your side. And in your God, in this Jesus, in him is salvation alone. Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that salvation is not in any other person. Neither has any other person, any name be given among men that they should be saved. This is Jesus. That name, it is the name that gives us salvation. It is the person, Jesus. This is what Paul had to say about the wonderful Savior, the Savior of the world, who is our God with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul said about this mystery of the incarnation, that for God was manifested in the flesh. Christ was manifested in the flesh. He was justified by the Spirit. He was seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the word. And he was received up in glory. He ascended to heaven. This is just so great for us to have our God to manifest himself in the flesh for us. This is the good news. The amazing thing of amazing part of the story is that when Jesus ascended up to heaven, it did not end his presence with us. The ascension did not end the presence of God, the presence of Emmanuel with us, but rather it brought us a great hope. Emmanuel promised in John 14, 18, that I will not leave you as orphans. I will not. I will come to you. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. I will come to you. The same Spirit that made the conception of Jesus possible, he is the same Spirit with us. The same Spirit that made the incarnation possible, the same Spirit of God lives inside of us. That same Spirit we have, the same Spirit of God. And that same Spirit Jesus sent to us to provide us power, guidance, comfort, the very presence of God to carry out God's work of building the church, fulfilling the Great Commission, and transforming Jesus' disciples into the image of God. What a privilege and what a blessing. that we have the Holy Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God, as God promised in Ezekiel, I will be with them. I will set my sanctuary in their midst. My tabernacles will be with them. God has tabernacled in us forever. Praise the Lord. This is a blessing to us. And verses 24 to 25, we see what Joseph did. Bible says that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until he gave birth to a son and gave his name Jesus. Joseph's response to the angel's message, he obeyed God. It wasn't easy, I want to believe. I'm prepared to be told to father a son. I mean, in modern days, the way parents do prepare, like years, making sure that their babies will be born, having everything that they need, that wasn't the case for our Lord. Joseph had to obey. He did obey. It was a costly sin that he did, though wonderful. He did not fear the ridicules, the false accusations, and all that his community, his families, you know, maybe was just thinking. He did not think that way. He believed, he trusted God for this plan and launched in. The life of both Mary and Joseph, I mean, changed, their direction changed. And by their obedience, they were drawn into the story of God. We, like Joseph, may encounter unexpected circumstances in our lives. And we may have to take certain risks as we attempt to carry out our God-given plan and purpose. But it's my prayer that we will receive guidance and God will find us faithful when we get to that point. And this is the invitation to us, church, this morning. Christmas is about Emmanuel. It's about Jesus. It's about our God with us. It's about the salvation that he offers to all. And the very life of God that he invites us to partake in. Our reflection these times should be one of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should abound. For we have the greatest gift of all times. Our reflection should cause us to share the love of Christ with the lost world. We live in a post-Christian culture where the true meaning of this season is fading out. And I want to challenge us today, church, that we can carry that light of Christ all around. We can reach out to the lost for them to come to this hope that we have found. For them to see this light that we see now, for them to experience this kind of love that God has set upon the world. It is an invitation, and I am challenging you this morning that this Christmas, as you reach out showing love, you will reach out sharing the gospel with the lost world. The people are around us, all around us we see, all around us we see, all around us we see. And Jesus is calling us this Advent season, as we prepare, as we are getting ready, we should be prepared in this way also to share the gospel with other people. And sometimes I know it's hard, like, how do we start a conversation? How should we make this happen? And all that. But I can suggest something to you this morning. If we pray for opening, we will have one. As we go out daily, oh God, that is my prayer every day. May you lead me to someone. May you open the door of the gospel, that in my everyday conversation, I will have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. So it may be an intentional stuff that we can do. Like when we are on the bus, a conversation may open up. It may be a good starting point. I have a friend who, anytime he's at the restaurant, he finds the next person who is sitting idle, like sitting by himself, and will just go and sit there, start a conversation, and open the way to the gospel. Last two semesters, I joined some friends from Regent College who will go to Kitsilano Beach, one with typewriter, typing poems for people who will pass by, and at the other one sharing God's love. So as they pass by, people pass by for poems, this guy will also be sharing God's love with others. As we walk, we take walk in the parks, in our neighborhoods, we should be mindful that the people are all around us, and Christ is inviting us to share his love with them. Something that happened last week, as I was on the bus, I saw this lady. She was just cheering up. And when she got down from the bus, I also did. And I just asked her, "Is everything okay?" She said, "Yeah, but I don't want to share." So I asked her, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, yes. So we did pray. And I was trusting God that I will have opportunities afterwards to share the gospel with her. So the next day, I sent her a message, and she responded this way: "Thank you for praying for me. This is something that I have not seen in a very long time. And it is something that is missing in our culture. People are hungry to know Christ. And you and I, as we understand the meaning of this season, we should reach out to them in love and share the gospel with them." So this morning, as I bring my message to a close, I have three invitations. The first invitation is for those who want to enter into this covenant relationship where Emmanuel will be their God. You don't know Christ, and you want to receive Christ into your life. My second invitation has to do with renewal. You may be wanting renewal in maybe one or two aspects. Part of your life. You want renewal, you want to renew your commitment. And my third invitation is the grace and courage for all those who want to go out there to proclaim the gospel, to shine this light of Christ to all. Church, this morning I want us to close our eyes. I want us to close our eyes. Wherever you are seated, you don't have to walk front. But you want to accept this gift of Christmas into your life. You want to accept Jesus. You want to renew your commitment for him. You want to say that, God, give me the grace to reach out to the lost world. Jesus is calling, who will go and work today? The fields are white, the harvest ready. Who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and strong, he is calling us. Loud and strong, he is calling us to go out there to make the meaning of Christmas known. In all that you do, I want you to remember that God is with you, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit that made conception possible, the Spirit of God is with you. If you want to make this commitment, if you want to accept Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, I just want, as you are seated, just say these words after me. That, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming to be like me, to understand my humanness in order to save me. I have understood your love, and I ask you to come into my life. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Make the meaning of this season known to me. Forgive my sins and grant me your Holy Spirit to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit of God, it's a prayer that you breathe afresh, anew on us and give us a fresh revelation of the true meaning of this season. Jesus, our Emmanuel, who is our God with us. We praise you and we give you glory. In your name, amen.